Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Joining us now on a Wednesday at noon, as he does every week, is Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. It is indeed Hutton o'clock, and Hutton, finally, we have real life, actual football to react to.
Finally.
And it wasn't a great outing for the first football that we actually got to see a peek behind the curtain of. So, Hutton, you had three things, and I want to do this every week with you, of looking back at the previous game, looking forward to the week ahead. The Titans have the Chargers coming to town this Sunday. Your biggest takeaways from the previous week?
Yeah, and thank you. I always enjoy coming on the show, guys. And, with the limited Titans discussion that I'm able to have, this is a great outlet where I can continue to dig up some things prior to doing TV on Sunday nights on Channel 5 for Sports Central. And this was a pretty easy reaction game, honestly. It was awful on offense. I felt like they lacked direction offensively Sunday. It's week one. I'm eager to see adjustments. I'm eager to see the offense evolve, including Tim Kelly, and see what the plan is for the Chargers. But, you know, beyond the three interceptions, 50% of the drives went three and out. And no quarterback had more passes on first down in week one than Ryan Tannehill's 8 first down attempts throwing the football. That's intriguing because over the last couple of years, fans have been pulling their hair out about being predictable on first down, and it's a handoff to 22. In this case, it was Tannehill. And the context there is, you know, everyone wanted to throw it on first down. Well, we saw what happens there, because when it's incomplete, the bind that second and 10 or second and 10 plus puts that offense in is important to note, especially with the way this offense is constructed. It's bad for any offense, but especially with the slower depth and the slower starters offensively that we see on the field. Look, the offense has scored 10 touchdowns total in the last 7 games. Now, that's a lot of Joshua Dobbs and Malik Willis at QB, but that is a nasty reality of what we saw last year. And with the 50% of drives three and out, it's week one. Cincinnati watched their offense go out and three snaps, came back to the sidelines in Cleveland. 67% of their offensive possessions. The Eagles went three and out 62% of the time. Minnesota, 55%. But with those examples of poor offensive consistency from last week, I think we all agree the Bengals, Eagles, and Vikings have plenty of reasons to say, oh, it's just week one. All quarterbacks, two at the top of their game for those three teams. They have receivers who won't be held down on a week-to-week basis. They're very versatile. I think the Titans, just watching the offense, they have bigger problems to overcome. They're slow. They're limited on options. Their biggest draft addition to the passing game was a running back. Their three plays of over 20 yards was to Derrick Henry on a screen and two plays to Nick Westbrook-Kine. And Tannehill completed more passes to Saints defensive backs than he did to Burks and Okonkwo combined. And the other part of this, guys, is this is with Derrick Henry combining for 107 total yards by halftime. In his career, we have witnessed 43 games of 100-plus yards from scrimmage by Henry. 43 games of total offense of 100 or more. The Titans have a 32-11 record when he does that. 7 of those 11 losses have been since week 9 of last season. And Sunday in New Orleans was Henry's 4th lowest second-half rushing total since we've anointed him king, or at least I have. The other 3 of those 4 were blowouts. So it was just different, and it was intentional. They willingly put it on Ryan Tannehill, and when it wasn't working, they didn't turn to Henry. They went to the well on reverses and double handoffs back to Tannehill, and he missed some layups there too in the passing game that would have worked had it been a better effort. But they put it on Tannehill. I say they because this isn't just Tim Kelly. Vrabel's teams are routinely slow on offense and light on points in week one. NFL offenses are slow to begin the season for many reasons. But Vrabel's offense that he oversees as the head coach begins at a snail's pace. And last year I thought the snail's pace was routine offensively each week, and Sunday just felt like the same issues, except it wasn't about the offensive line or Derrick Henry not kickstarting and carrying the team. It was just a different version of what we're used to seeing based on the last two play callers and the plan.
It was frustrating to watch, and you know, you bring up the offense and turnovers and going to Tajay Spears, Derrick Henry on the sideline for majority of the second half, and also just the missed opportunities. Because aside from the interceptions from Tannehill, there were the passes, one that could have been intercepted very easily, and also, you know, the missed pass to Tajay Spears in the sideline late in the game, the flea flicker where Ryan Tannehill simply just overthrew Chigakonkwo. I feel like those also get overlooked when we talk about Tannehill's, I guess, right word to use, woes on Sunday against New Orleans.
Yeah, and consider it's a one-point game with all of that.
That is true.
With the three picks, all of it. And they start, if you want to recap the game, you also need to include the beginning of the game where they're gifted the turnover. They end up with 3 points. The next drive, they drive down to like the 15-yard line, and they can only get a field goal. They started fast again, and they only came away with 6 points. It was, again, it's tough to compare last year to this year with everything and every reason you can point to, but they just lost a close game again, and it's extremely frustrating to watch a defense that was so good that allowed 16 points. And oh, by the way, that defense forced New Orleans to also be a field goal team, lose in that fashion, given the opportunities that were right in front of them offensively.
What was your second thing, Hutton?
Well, the second was Henry. Just the snaps, 28 snaps total. He had 17 touches on the 28. Meanwhile, Spears is 33 snaps, I believe, 4 touches. One of those, Caroline, that you mentioned was the wheel route that out of the backfield that was incomplete on the sideline at the end there. But it's just, if they're going to have Spears on the field and if they're going to point to him as an increase for the passing game and the production there, I think they've got to get him more involved. And this week gives them that opportunity. Henry, it's interesting. He's involved in the first half and not the second. I don't know how you don't continue to feed him if everything is great health-wise. And in week one, it's not going to be any better than what we saw, given the production and how fast that he got going.
Third thing.
Hey, I want to emphasize it's week one. It is a long season, and a lot of fan bases are trying to figure out what went wrong. There are some shout-outs on performances that have been buried from New Orleans. What's real and what's not about week one, that's to be determined, but the Titans offensive line featured a ton of questions. And last Sunday we saw some answers. The 3 sacks allowed ended week one around the middle of the pack amongst all 32 O-lines. And the run game was solid. ESPN analytics showed that the Titans offensive line was one of the 5 best in week one. If you want to crunch those numbers. I thought it was a nice job overall from a group that we knew nothing about going into a season where they overhauled every spot for one reason or another. And the same goes for kicker. They have an answer there in Nick Folk. It gives them NFL range and confidence in that when they send him out, they expect 3 points when he trots back to the sideline. Vrabel played for 2 of his kicks at the end of the game instead of going for the first down or the touchdown late in the fourth quarter. Vrabel did that, and he has said time and time again he will go for the win as early as possible in any situation, and he didn't do that there. A couple of years ago in London, he's going for 2 and the win to end it there, and he didn't go for it when he had the opportunity deep in their territory. He kicked the field goal and then tried to get it back for another kick from Folk. It was just that day. And props to Arden Key, who should have had 3 sacks. He leaves with 2, and he was credited with 11 quarterback pressures, which currently leads the NFL.
We'll get more with Jonathan Hutton coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. Hey, sign up for Silly Underdog Picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. Make your picks today at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as week one of the NFL kicks off this weekend. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow is with us now.
Now, Hut, just listening to your stats last segment about Derrick Henry, and you're absolutely right in regards to if he's a part of the offense, the percentages of them winning goes up. But I think those numbers we're looking at, that was the old Derrick Henry. I think the new Derrick Henry, it's a little bit different. And I think they choose to not sort of have him out there as much. One is because what have fans have been screaming for the last two or three years? You're so predictable. Running with Derrick Henry on first down,
sure.
Running with him on second down, and then you get in third down, everybody knows what you're doing. I think the Titans believe this. One, Derrick Henry is still a good back in this league. Again, he still may be the best runner of any back out there. But he doesn't hit the holes as quick as a Tajay Spears would, which means, prime example, there was a play, I think it was the fourth quarter. Tajay Spears gets the ball. He bounces out outside and picks up 19 yards. That's a play Derrick Henry would have probably picked up four because of the quickness of a Tajay Spears that's able to elude a defender and has the speed to get outside. We all know Derrick Henry is a build-up back, and it may take him a little bit longer nowadays to hit that hole. And with this offensive line, they're progressing, but they're still not where they need to be.
I'm not disagreeing with your take, Mace. Two things, though, that come to mind as I'm listening there. Mm-hmm. First, why run it back with Tannehill and Henry being the guy if you're not going to use him? And he was working in the first half. I mean, he was their offense in the first half. And if it's Spears that's going to hit the yards better, use him more. They gave him the football three times in the backfield. Four touches should have been. I mean, they did throw an incomplete to him late. I mean, there were two.
There were two plays that arguably could have been touchdowns to Spears.
Yes.
That one, yes. I thought was somewhat catchable in the first quarter, mm-hmm. where it goes through his hands.
Yeah.
It would have been a heck of a job to hang on and take the hit, but if he hangs on, it's a touchdown. And then in the fourth quarter, so they absolutely game planned to have Spears featured in the game plan. I thought that was very telling.
Yeah, and it's not as much about, oh, turn around and give it to 22 every play. Mm-hmm. When he's on the field for 28 snaps, he's getting the football 17 times. I mean, it's pretty evident if he's on the field, he's getting the ball. And Spears is the opposite. Four touches. They threw it to him a couple more times, as we've mentioned. Four touches on 33 snaps. I can't disagree with what you're saying, Mace, based on how you watched the game. But Henry was effective, and that's pretty much the only player who was effective Sunday.
Well, let me throw a couple.
Give it to him more than five times.
Mm-hmm. Let me throw a couple of reasons why that might be. And I see your point, right? If you're going to have Spears in there, let's get him the ball. And I do think if he makes one of those two catches, then we're maybe have a little bit of a different narrative.
No doubt.
Take the first play of the season, okay? They get the great play by Hooker. They get the ball. It's first and 10. They are in two tight end set, Henry in the backfield, behind center. It's going to Henry. Whoops, false start. Now it's first and 15. So what happens? Henry goes off the field. Here comes Spears. It's three wide receivers. So and that happened twice mm-hmm. on the first drive. So there were a number of situations where, for one reason or the other, I think they may have planned on having Henry in there more, but they get into a passing situation, and it's Spears on the field. And so if Spears is your running back in the obvious passing downs, he's not going to get the ball thrown to him or handed to him that many times. So that's an explanation I have of why he's on the field and doesn't get the ball, because they're throwing the ball.
I'm perfectly fine with Spears being on the field on passing downs. Henry needs to be on the field more on passing downs. The longest offensive play of the game was to Derrick Henry on a pass.
Right, on first down.
Yep, but
which is when he catches all of his passes on first down, screens mostly, right? And
yes.
And those are they need to keep doing that, because they're getting huge plays on first and second down when they throw the screens to Henry. But he is not a guy that lines up and catches passes on third down or obvious passing situations.
I'm totally okay with needing to pass based on offensive line and operation issues there. But in the passing game, Derrick Henry is their biggest threat other than Spears. And unless you're going to throw to Hopkins 20 more times than what they did, he's the only one that's targeted. So I would prefer, even on passing downs, even though he's a great running back, Henry is a threat on passing downs as well, the stiff arms and everything else. So I just didn't understand the concept of running downs, Henry, passing downs, Spears, and you mix it in just a bit with Henry, and that ends up being your longest play of the day. That needs to happen more. For an offense that lacks explosive plays, the explosion is in the backfield. I would think they would go to the explosive players like Derrick Henry and soon to be Spears, or at least we believe them when they tell us that.
I was encouraged that they had a number of packages where they had Spears and Henry on the field. So my big question to you, Hutt, is do you want the offense to grow out of what it has been? Like, it is easy to say, let's just keep doing what we've been doing. Let's just hand it to Derek 350 times. Let's play great defense and let's see where we're going. But I think that Tim Kelly was tasked at this stage of Henry's career, based on the effectiveness of Henry and the offense all through last year, and there were reasons for it. But I think he's trying to add a layer. He's trying to add a level. And to do that, there might have to be some growing pains. And it was, you know, when if you're talking pass fail, mm-hmm. right, which I didn't take classes. I probably should have taken more pass classes fail. At Vanderbilt pass fail rather than get a C-.
Yeah.
But they failed on Sunday, right? But they're trying to lay the foundation. I guess my point is they're trying to lay the foundation for something that has a higher ceiling than last year. Is that a fair theory? Like they passed more. They passed more on first down than they ran on Sunday. To me, that's an attempt to grow, right? That's an attempt to get out of the predictability. And part of the reason is, like I said, they got illegal procedures first and 15, so it's harder to run.
Yes, and that's been an issue. I'm fine with that concept, but I just don't understand in a 1-point game where your defense is holding the opponent to 16 total, if it's not working, it's not working. Whether it's on Tannehill or not for the three picks, he threw the three picks. He's missing some layups. And I would perceive a layup in this offense to be Derrick Henry, regardless of how he touches the ball. I want, in that type of game, just go to what was working. And I saw 107 yards of total offense from 22 in the first two quarters. And the lack of production in the second half was the fourth lowest total. And I mentioned this, the three others are in blowout situations, either on the Titans side or the opponent side. So I'm fine with the philosophy changing up a bit. But in the moment, there will be moments, and we've seen Vrabel go for the win and go for the touchdown, go for the first down instead of kicking it. This game didn't dictate that because he didn't trust his offense. Mm-hmm. I trust Derrick Henry in the second half because I saw it in the first half against the Saints defense in the moment. I'm fine with the concept evolving, but to win that game, they didn't trust Tannehill in that moment. They didn't trust the first down even. They trusted two kicks instead of one play to get you 7 points. I would argue that in that game, Derrick Henry had a better opportunity than any other player on the field based on usage when he was actually in between the lines.
And do you think that the Titans have the personnel to run this Bill O'Brien, New England, Tim Kelly offense?
No. Not if the receivers aren't going to get separation. they're slow, lack explosiveness. They're targeting one guy in 1 week, vastly more than the others. And the second targeted receiver is Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. So, and then that's fine, by the way. I'm not knocking him. But Burks and Okonkwo are paired with Spears as the young talent that should be improving and featured more. And, you know, maybe opportunities weren't there for a variety of reasons. The big part is the Saints were all over the wide receivers, even when they were making plays.
All over them.
All over them. And that's credit to their defense. It's also the lack of explosion and speed and quickness and the ability to get open in this league that we see from the top offenses. The Miami Dolphins against this Chargers defense, Caroline, mm-hmm. It was amazing what they were doing in the pass game.
And their wide receivers are amazing.
Exactly.
They have two of them.
No doubt. I would imagine it's a difficult game to scout if you're the Titans coaches. Yeah, you don't have that personnel.
You don't do what they do. That's exactly right. Yeah. That's the challenge of this game.
And the Chargers offense went 3-and-out 30% of their possessions against Miami, and they accomplished that by actually sticking to the run game, which surprised me. Only three teams ran the ball 40 times or more in week one, and the Chargers were one of those three.
Partially because it was a high possession game, and there were a lot of offensive plays by both teams. It was kind of a fun game.
Yeah.
Very different type of game.
But, you know, the Carr it had a second half where he wasn't touched all that much by the Titans' pass rush. He had 8 completions of at least 15 yards. Tua had 17 completions for 15 yards or more against this Chargers defense last week. I don't foresee, Caroline, to answer your question about this style, the Titans aren't doing that. They're not having those types of plays, even though the Chargers allowed them to the Dolphins. So I'm just not seeing the translation based on the personnel. Even if they want to throw more and be less predictable, that's totally fine. But to be less predictable, you've also got to run Spears more when he's on the field, because it was screaming pass if it was just him versus run when it's Henry. And that was evident based on who they were using, going back to Mace's point. The best options, I felt like, Sunday were in the backfield, and I think that's the same thing going into the Chargers, even if they want to throw the football more.
Hutton, you're the best. We appreciate you. We'll chat next week.
I always enjoy this, guys. Have a great rest of the week, and can't wait for Saturday and Sunday.
All right, thanks, Hutton. You too. Coming up next, I want to get into Willie's thought there. Derrick Henry's usage, how this offense can evolve, and is that the best thing for the Tennessee Titans? And we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 5:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights, AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball, 94.9 The Fan, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and Family Leisure.
Mike, when it comes to Derrick Henry's usage, is there kind of a plan before the game about how much you want to make sure Derrick plays or how many times he wants to get it, or is it adjustments throughout the game that end up with how much Derrick plays and how much he gets it?
I think that's probably goes by the game and in a feel for what we think, you know, and how things are going. You know, I think we want to make sure that, you know, guys are getting the ball, or, you know, Derrick at the top of that list, and Hop and Traylon and Chig and Tajay. So, you know, trying to create opportunities for them and then see how it goes. You know, just like the screen to Derrick is something that we've always had, and, you know, that's been a good play for us. So making sure that we, you know, get some of those things called that we've had success with, you know, in the past.
There goes Mike Vrabel, and he says not using Derrick Henry as much in the second half, using more of Tajay Spears, was more so based off of a feel for the game. But I don't know if we were watching a different game, because I thought that taking Derrick Henry off the field had nothing to do with the feel for the game, because Derrick Henry was balling. He was your best offensive player in the first half. So taking him off the field was stupid, in my opinion.
To me, it's down in distance.
Mm-hmm.
When I went back and looked at why that happened, that is my answer. That they went into the game from the very start. You could see what the game plan was. This is, again, my amateur eyes, just trying to answer the question that you and a lot of people have been asking. Why less Derrick Henry than normal? Philosophically, my answer is I think they're trying to grow. They're trying to add a layer to the offense. The offense hasn't been good enough, even though Derrick Henry had a very good year last year. It was not a good offense. It wasn't his fault, but I think less touches but more efficiency, added dimension with Spears, that is part of the answer. So how did they go about that? What's the situation? When it was first and 15, for example, the one I used, the very first play of the game, they get an illegal procedure on, I believe it was a Conquo, first and 15. So they go from two tight ends in a Derrick Henry formation to a three wide receiver Spears formation.
Which makes it very obvious what you're doing. And on a first and 15, it probably is pretty obvious what you're doing.
Okay, and this is, again, where I'm not an offensive coordinator, but you're hoping to create matchups. You're hoping to create maybe a little bit of the unexpected. You're less predictable throwing on first down. They threw, if I got this right, they had 26 first down plays. They threw on 16 of them. They ran on 10. Maybe they're trying to have a little bit of element of surprise. You've had all summer where everybody's been saying they run it on first down. That's all they do. They're predictable. It's Derrick Henry on first down. So the combination of trying to be a little different, trying to grow, and also it's first and 15 several times in the game dictates that there's less Derrick Henry on the field. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm trying to assess why that happened. And my question is, in 4 weeks, will this be a better offense than they have been because of it? Because here's what happened in a lot of situations, Derek. They went first down, three wide, Spears on the field, but they didn't get great matchups. They didn't execute very well. The guy wasn't open. You know, they forced it to Hopkins. They had some plays that were knocked down where they didn't scheme their way into a lot of stuff. Like, take the other side. There were a lot of times where Olave, they were able to sort of scheme him open where it didn't look like anybody was even covering him. Like, he had a really nice game where four or five catches weren't even contested, right? I was looking for a little bit more of that from the passing game, and I'm hoping that will get better. But it wasn't. Like, it was not an effective offense on Sunday. I'm just trying to think what they might be thinking. But I would love to hear Derek's take on, because you've been digging through that film, I know, the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Probably not as much as Ryan Tannehill, since watching it five times.
No, not.
But when you saw them line up in their formations, so how did you try to answer that question?
It's easy for us to sort of, you know, give our thoughts on the day after the game or even why it's going. We're not truly seeing or feeling what's going on in the game. Everybody's throwing out this number. Derrick Henry was, you know, he was having a big day.
Right, he had 100 yards at halftime. Yeah.
Half of those yards was one play. So what is that?
59.
So what is that telling us? That
or 46, right?
Yeah, 46 was one play. 46. So we're talking about almost half of his yardage was one play. So he wasn't on fire as much as we thought he was running the football. Now he did some things that in the run game, I think his longest in the game was 18, but he had two snaps,
which
in
was
row.
Also in the first half.
Yeah, which he got like quarter. 6 yards, and then he picked up another 6 yards, tough yards. But that's when they were already behind the chains. It was like it started off first and 15 or first and 20, and he picks up half of the yards. But now it's third and 10 plus, and now you got to go to the pass. You got to take him off the field. The flow of the game probably wasn't going the way that the offensive coordinator or the head coach thought it should go. We're looking at it. We are looking at it from a microcosm of what the whole game was. He was good the first half, but as Jared would say, we're box watching. Because if you watch the game, that was one play. The other plays,
he
was okay.
But is he limited to one explosive play a game? Like, who's to say he couldn't have had another explosive play?
Well, they tried the same screen in the second half.
Yeah,
and it was covered.
Yeah, it didn't work. But they would have had explosive plays. First, third play of the game, or fourth play of the game, they run this boot with Chick Conquo coming underneath. Well, Ryan Tannehill had already predetermined where he was going to throw the ball, and that was Chick Conquo. If he hadn't predetermined where he was going to throw the ball and just read the defense, as he typically does, he would have hit I think it was Tajay Spears for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. He was wide open running down the right side of the field, their sideline. But because he had already predetermined where he was going to throw it, that's a big play miss. There were several big plays other than from the running game that was missed. I think now that I had an opportunity to go back and watch this, the play calling wasn't an issue. It was not the issue. Them playing Derrick Henry not as much wasn't the issue. That wasn't the issue, people. The issue was our quarterback didn't hit the plays that he needed to hit.
I agree.
Hit that play to Nick Westbrook Akinye down the sideline. That's a touchdown. 7 points. He hit the one with Tajay Spears, the first one. If Tajay catches that, it'd be a tough catch. But that's another 7 points potentially. That's 14 points. You miss Chigga Conquer on another one. That's 21 points. You miss another one on the left side to Tajay Spears. That's 28 points. So we got 28 points that they left on the field. And this is what Vrabel was telling them in the meeting Monday. We left 28 points out on the field. This doesn't have a damn thing to do with play calling. Because now that I've looked at it, Tim Kelly did a pretty good job at calling plays. Our quarterback didn't do a good enough job executing those plays.
But at what point do you have to abandon that and just go with what's working? Because if your quarterback
can't tell me the two touchdowns were working.
In the fourth quarter. The two of those plays that you just said were in the fourth quarter with the game on the line. It's wide open. If your quarterback hits it, then I think Tim Kelly's a hero. He's a genius.
It's a different narrative.
Because
we're
all winning.
Talking about something different now.
Because
if that happens,
as you described it, so it's 28 points. And on some of those drives, they get a field goal instead of a touchdown. So, but your point is that is the difference between winning and losing.
And these are what this
and
is it, what
and the play is designed. You can't execute the play if you're the coordinator. You're just designing plays. The design of the play was there.
Yeah, and
I thought
is what coordinators and head coaches are telling the players Monday in the meetings. Vrabel walks into the office into the meeting room. They're going to show plays on there that were left on the field. They're going to show them both to the offense and to the defense together at times. Just to show you, it wasn't as bad as what people portray it to be. If we hit these four or five plays, which were they were wide open. It ain't.
Yeah.
We're not talking, okay, a guy was right there and you could have sort of kind of made the play. These four or five plays that we saw were wide open. If you hit them, Ryan Tannehill, has nothing to do with the play calling. Ryan Tannehill, if you hit those plays, we are talking about something different. We're not complaining about Derrick Henry not touching the ball in the second half as much. We're not complaining about some other things that happened. If you hit those four or five plays, which you should have hit, they were routine plays, routine throws that I've seen Ryan make over and over and over again. But for some reason, he didn't make him this game.
Well, let's continue the conversation coming up next, because at what point, if your quarterback can't hit those plays, at what point can you just not execute this offense? Can you just not run this offense? We'll answer that question coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hey, tune into 102.5 and 106.3 The Game this Saturday at 11 a.m. for our college football game of the week. Illinois versus Penn State, presented by Superbook Sports and Twin Peaks. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all the hottest non-conference games across the country. Breaking down this offense, because I thought it was a mistake to leave Derrick Henry off the field as much as he was left off the field in the second half. And if you're trying to evolve this offense, if I get it. I understand. But part of me also thinks, can't you just have Derrick Henry on the field even if you don't give him the ball? Like, Hutton brought up the stat. He said Derrick Henry's on the field 27 snaps, and he got the ball 16 or 17 of them. So when he's on the field, he's getting the football. What I'd like to see, and Willie, you mentioned adding another layer to this offense. I think adding another layer to this offense is simply just deception. Of having Derrick Henry on the field more doesn't mean you have to give him the ball. Have him on the field and make the defense pay attention to him. You mentioned having Derrick Henry and Tajay Spears on the field at the same time. I think that's a great idea because you're going to have to force the defense to keep your offense honest. Look, you can have Derrick Henry and Tajay Spears on the field and then pass the football. So, that's my thing is if you don't want to give Derrick Henry the ball and run the ball on every single play, I get it. You're going to have to do more than that. but you can at least be more versatile and be more creative with how you use Derrick Henry rather than just creativity and pass versus run play.
That's why I think we have to look at what does the offense appear like after four games when we see them weave the web a little bit more. The encouraging thing is the offensive line was not a disaster. I thought, as we brought up last couple of days, I thought they made a little too much effort to force the ball to Hopkins. I don't think you opt. I think, if anything, where you could get a little more carry or two to Derrick Henry, you take another throw or two off of Hopkins' play. 13 targets to Hopkins is not optimum to me. I'd like to see the other guys get involved a little bit more. Another thing to keep in mind, once again, you have to remember the situation. A lot of first and 15s, a lot of third and longs. They were 2 for 12 on third down. I think I heard Mike Vrabel say they averaged 8 yards per third down, which takes Derrick Henry off the field. Unless you all of a sudden think he is somebody that he has never been in his career, a third down pass catcher. He is not that. He comes off the field. So that is part of the reason. Hey, we don't want Derrick Henry out there. We want Derrick Henry out there in a position to be the best. Another example is, if you look through his career, he doesn't have as much success, I don't think, running out of the shotgun. And so if you're going to run shotgun three wides, it's not the best way to use Derrick Henry. So what do? Do you keep him in, even though that's not where he does the best? Maybe. But can Spears be more effective in that situation? That's what they have to find out. So after 4 weeks, they'll have a better idea.
Yeah, it's going to take them, a few games to sort of, get this thing worked out, to figure out a way to how can we be balanced? And I'm not talking balance run pass. I'm talking balance in regards to getting the ball to our playmakers. How can we be balanced? And I think they will find that out, as these next couple of games get to going. Again, it's okay if we throw Derrick Henry out there on third down. It's 3rd and 8, 9. Well, how much of an effect is Derrick Henry going to be out there in regards to, okay, how is the defense playing this? If it's 3rd and 8, then the likelihood of Derrick Henry getting the ball, because one, they're going to want him to chip first or stay in the block. So he's essentially another tight end or a tight end to sit in there and block. So he's really not getting out on the pass play. And if he does get out on the pass play, it's late, which means Ryan Tannehill is really not going to get to him. And then if he does get to him, we got to worry about, man, is he really going to catch the ball? If it's not a flare route or a screen route, I'm just being honest here. He's not known for catching the football. He's known for running the football.
I get nervous when he catches the
football. Now when he can catch a screen pass, he can catch every so often coming on a swing route out the backfield, but that's rare. So we're putting him in an offense where he's just out there, and we're screaming for him. Put Derrick Henry out there. Put Derrick Henry out there. But he gives you nothing when he's out there on third and long.
Or he's first not, and 15.
He's not giving you. I understand the premise of, well, he may, the defense has to pay attention to him. The defense is paying attention to everybody. Well, regardless of who it is.
In the fourth quarter, there was a series where the Titans went 3 and out, and Derrick Henry wasn't on the field for any 3 of those plays.
But that's not saying that they went 3 and out because Derrick Henry wasn't on the field. Now, we can, in order to push or skew it the way we want to, we can say, well, he wasn't out there. There were plays he was out there when they still went 3 and out. It's a tricky game. And sometimes what we think may be there isn't really there. I'm talking about we as not the people that are actually playing the game. We look at it and say, they could have did this. They could have did that. And sometimes we may be right. But then sometimes we may be wrong because we are not looking at the game from the coach's vantage point or the players. We're not looking at it from there. We're looking at it from the all 22 where we can see everything out there. And we think, oh, my goodness, this. Now, some plays are just obvious, like you should have hit that play or this play. Yeah. But then not everything is so obvious. But we try to make everything look as if, well, they should have did this. Why didn't they just do this? Or why didn't they just have him on the field? There were plays or series or you know, within the game where Derrick Henry was on the field majority of the time, and they still either didn't score a point or they went three and out.
Caroline, would you say that – because let's take the second half stats, the ones that they did. He only had five carries for, what, 12 yards. They tried the screen again unsuccessfully. I can't remember if it was knocked down or if he got – I think it was knocked down. The play were all over. It wasn't going anywhere. So when they did try to go to him, he was not as effective. But at the end of the day, he had 17 touches. Now, that would put him on pace still for over 300 touches on the season. So what is the optimal number? We're so used to seeing him carry at 25 or more, but we know that that formula is not the best thing for Derrick Henry, and it wasn't part of a good offense last year. The offense was not a good offense with him carrying it that many. So what's the right amount of touches for him?
Well, I think there's a qualitative and a quantitative approach, and you're asking for a quantitative answer. I simply can't give you that, I don't think, because I could say, yeah, 325 is the sweet spot, but 328, that's far too many.
But remember, that was my question to you guys, to all of us, right? Over or under 320 touches. So to get that number down, if that is optimum, right, for the big picture, that's a, you know, 17 is not that out of the ballpark if you're trying to take a little bit off his plate.
But I'm just looking at it through the vantage point of that game, where your quarterback struggled hitting receivers, where you were trying to force balls into places where they should not have been put. And Derrick Henry was moving and grooving in the first half. So I don't know if 25 touches would have been better for the Titans or not. I just would have said, if Derrick Henry's working, then give the ball to Derrick Henry, how many touches it might be. Because, you know, at that point, yards and points were at a premium, and they were incredibly difficult to come by for the Titans on Sunday. So give yourself the best opportunity to move the ball downfield, and having Derrick Henry on the field, whether that's him carrying the rock or not, gave you the best opportunity to move the ball downfield.
But this, they did, they weren't they doing this last year? I mean, in regards to third down, Derrick Henry not being on the field.
Yeah, I thought that was a mistake.
This is who they are. Like, this is how they're going to operate, unless it's like third and four or less. But they feel if it's third and six or more, then
and
more
they
than
average
likely,
eight. Remember the average eight. So he will, in
he's
theory,
going to be off the field.
If it's third and one or third and two, I would expect he would be on the field more. But when you average third and eight, I don't blame them for saying that's not a package where he's going to be effective.
And then again, listen, it's only the first game, and they looked at this film and they may think, like you, Caroline, and everyone else are thinking, give Derrick Henry the ball more. Okay, we're going to give him the ball more. Or they could be thinking, okay, that was about the sweet number that we can give him. We just need to sort of divvy it out a little bit different, or we need to capitalize on the plays that we need to capitalize on that are there for the making. Those were layup plays. If we just complete the layup plays, it makes Derrick Henry's job a lot easier. And it makes our job a lot easier in regards to calling plays.
There were several layups that just weren't executed well.
Yeah.
And that's not on Derrick Henry. That's not on Tim Kelly. Like, I thought the flea flicker where Ryan Tannehill just overthrew Chigakonkwo, like, I thought that was a great play
but
call.
But it affects Derrick Henry.
It was
Henry.
A great time, but it was just a bad throw by Tannehill. But overall, I do wonder, you know, if they're trying to turn away from the run and throw the football more, be more dynamic, can Tannehill do that for you? Like Raymond in Franklin, Texan, says you're going to question the quarterback if he could run these plays after one game. Really? It's not after one game. It's after the entirety of his career. And we've been saying that Ryan Tannehill is not the kind of quarterback that can throw the football 35, 40, 50 times.
It's not
based off of one game.
He can't throw you to a win.
Correct.
That's fair. I do think that is a good question to be asking in the building. 34 pass, 22 run. Is that a little skewed? Now, again, when you get a false start on first down, you get behind the sticks. Like, that's not how you go in. It's not the plan. But it sort of leads you to throw more than maybe you want to.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into this. We'll get back into your calls and texts and how the Titans should run this offense moving forward, especially against the Chargers this weekend. But coming up next, a memo from the NFLPA and how it could affect the Titans. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.